Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Please read along. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord.
Good morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we now come before the counsel of your divine word. We pray now that insofar as your Holy Spirit dwells within us, that you would grant us, by your anointing, the illumination to understand your word, not in a carnal fashion, but as you intend us to understand it. Lord, we pray that this would be for the benefit of our sanctification, that by the knowledge of your word, that we may be transformed. Lord, we acknowledge that we are weak in faith. We are not what we should be. And yet, Lord God, we also give thanks that we are not what we once were. By the power of new birth, by the transforming grace of your Holy Spirit, which has given us power to trust in Christ Jesus as Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have received saving grace. And by this grace, Lord God, we thank you that you have equipped us with all that is necessary for a life of godliness, repentance, and growth in the bearing of the fruit of the very character of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so now, Lord God, we pray to that end, please bless this message and make it fruitful so that we may be built up and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, after having taken a hiatus from our series in Colossians due to the Christmas and New Year's holiday, today we're going to return to our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off a few weeks ago in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 20. For those of us who are unaware, since January of last year, 2023, I've been preaching through the book of Colossians, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And for those of us who've been here for a while, we know that we've studied other books of the New Testament in the same way, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So why do we approach the task of preaching like this? Why are we going through books of the Bible systematically? Well, the main reason is to better fulfill the goal of preaching the whole counsel of God's word. This kind of preaching prevents me from sticking to my favorite hobby horse when I come up here and preach. I can't pick and choose my favorite passages, passages that I happen to like and am comfortable with. This kind of preaching keeps me from skipping around a book of the Bible, preaching on whatever passages I happen to think is important, and bypassing the rest. This kind of preaching obligates me to preach through the entire content of whatever book we are going through. So what if I'm not all too excited about preaching on children obeying their parents? What if I would rather preach on a subject more familiar to me, such as the meaning of the atonement, or new birth, or the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, you know what? Because of this method of preaching, too bad. We're going through Colossians verse by verse. And verse 20 of Colossians 3 is up for this week, which happens to be about children obeying their parents. So I have no choice but to preach on it. And by the way, I am excited to preach on this particular subject. I'm not doing this unwillingly at all because it's incredibly important. So in any case, this method of preaching is called expositional preaching. Expositional preaching, as I just pointed out, ensures that the preacher won't stick to his favorite hobby horses. And from the big picture, that is much better for the congregation. The congregation is exposed to a broader breadth of Scripture's teaching. They receive a fuller treatment of the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. And this is why, God willing, we are aiming to go through the entire book of Colossians, as we've gone through other books of the Bible over the past few years. And we're almost there. We're on chapter 3, verse 20. So that said, let's return to the subject of our text for today. If you recall, the text from the previous message in this series, which was several weeks ago, that text was concerned with the Lord's will regarding the role of husband and wife within the marriage relationship. Think back and remember, that was the last message in this series before we took our break. And what was the text at that time? Colossians 3:18-19. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And then if you look immediately preceding verse 18 to 19, you'll notice verse 17. And that's another commandment of the Lord. And this is what we read there. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Doing everything in the name of the Lord, as we had emphasized earlier in this series, means doing everything in accord with what is true about Christ Jesus. And what is true about Christ Jesus is summed up in one word. Does anyone remember what that word is? We've emphasized it again and again. That word is Lord. Christ Jesus is Lord. It's a very rich statement. So much depth to it. Christ Jesus is none other than God incarnate, who came into the world to redeem all who trust in Him as a people for His own possession. As Lord, to Him belongs supreme authority over the universe. As those who believe in the name of Jesus the Lord, we have received Him personally as our supreme authority. So if we have received Christ the Lord, we recognize His supreme authority over every aspect of our lives. And as we pointed out several weeks ago, including our marriages. What would Christ have us do then as Lord of our marriages? Going back again to Colossians 3:18-19, the text from several weeks ago before our break for the holiday. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Verse 18-19 taught us the Lord's will for His people in regard to the marriage relationship. And our text for today teaches us the Lord's will for His people in regard to children in relationship to their parents. So children is very important. This message is particularly, well, it's for everyone, but it's particularly for you. And so we read in verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. children of the Lord, what does Christ require of us in regard to our relationship with our parents? Obey your parents in everything. That's what he requires of us. Obey them in everything. The Lord has delegated to your parents complete authority over your lives. That's what we're reading there. And since this is the case, you must obey your parents in everything. There's no aspect of your life that is off limits to your parents, to their authority. Not the people you hang out with, not the way you spend your time, not the things you watch and listen to, not the way you dress, not the way you spend your money. Nothing is off limits to the authority of your parents. In everything, your parents have the final say. So obey them in everything. Children, obey your parents in everything. Not just in some things, in everything. That's a very scandalous statement for this day and age, but it is the word of the Lord. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. As long as you're living under your parents' roof, as long as you're under their provision and responsibility, it pleases the Lord that you obey your parents in everything. Now, if we consider today's verse in light of its parallel in Ephesians 6, it seems to me that the children who are in view in our text are children who are being reared by their parents. This is who's specifically being addressed, children who are being reared by their parents. So this is what we read in Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. This is the parallel. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children of all ages, young and old, dependent and independent of their parents, as God's commandment makes clear, are required to honor their father and mother. We know that. It's the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But children who are being brought up by their parents, and that's referring to a specific season of their life, children who are being brought up by their parents are under the complete authority of their parents. Again, the children who are being addressed in verse 1 of Ephesians 6 are children who are apparently under the responsibility of their parents. These are children who are being brought up by their parents and specifically their fathers. Verse 4, Ephesians 6. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the context. So in the original Greek, the word for bringing up is ektrepho, which is defined as to rear up to maturity. That's what fathers are charged by the Lord to do. Fathers, bring up their children with the goal of rearing them up to maturity. Once children reach maturity, what happens? They leave their parents. Why? Because they're prepared to take charge of themselves. They're prepared to be married. Rear children, start their own family, So you read in Ephesians 5:31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. When children reach maturity, they leave the responsibility of their parents and become fully accountable and responsible for themselves. They enjoy a much greater degree of independence and autonomy. But for as long as we are still being brought up by our parents, for as long as our parents are still rearing us up to maturity, what are we reading in Ephesians 6? And in our text for today, in Colossians 3:20, the Lord has granted them complete authority over our lives. So if that describes us, we owe our parents complete obedience. Obedience in everything. Our parents have authority over every aspect of our lives. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. But I'd like to clarify at this point that complete obedience does not mean unconditional obedience. Complete obedience does not mean absolute obedience. Because as we know, only the Lord has unconditional, absolute authority over our lives. If there ever is a conflict between what our parents tell us to do and what the Lord in His Word tells us to do, and out of respect for the supreme authority of the Lord, we must obey Him over our parents. See, because we read in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Don't just say children, obey your parents, for this is right. It says children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord. Not out of the Lord. In the Lord. In the will of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We are required to obey our parents in everything, yes. That's complete obedience, but also obey your parents in the Lord. That's a conditional statement. And what this means is obey your parents out of your obedience to the Lord, out of obedience to His supreme authority. If our parents want us to disobey the Lord, and we do as they say, what are we doing? We're not obeying them in the Lord. We may be obeying them, we're not obeying them in the Lord. We're not in the will of the Lord. We're failing to honor the supreme authority of the Lord. And so, children in Christ Jesus, our obedience to our parents is not absolute. It's not unconditional. It's conditioned upon this supreme authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a story I was told when I was young regarding my great-grandfather on my father's side. I think it's my great-grandfather, but some people know the story much better than I do, so correct me if it's someone else, but I believe it's my great-grandfather. As the story goes, my great-grandfather came to faith in Christ as a child. And at that time, ancestor worship was common among Korean families. His family, like so many Korean households at that time, long ago, practiced ancestor worship. They prayed to spirit jars in their homes, which supposedly contained the spirits of their ancestors. And as you can imagine, these jars were considered sacred to the family. From what I heard, what I remember of that story, once my great-grandfather put his trust in Christ, he could no longer tolerate demon worship in his family. That's what it is, demon worship. So one day, what did he do? He gathered up these spirit jars and he smashed them into pieces. Well, that had serious consequences for his life as a child. What happened to him? He was disowned by his family. You see, his parents required respect for these spirit jars, which he could not do out of obedience and reverence towards the Lord. As a child, my great-grandfather was obligated to obey his parents in everything, as we are today, if we are children being brought up by our parents. But he was also obligated to obey his parents in the Lord. And what that means is the authority of the Lord superseded the authority of his parents. And many times that has very serious consequences that change our lives. Children in the Lord, one day your parents may demand you to do something your Lord forbids. They may demand you to deny his word, or profane his name, or forsake his worship. They may demand you violate his law. They may demand you compromise God's standard to appease the world. It is true that we are children of our parents, yet as believers, we are the Lord's children first. Our first obedience belongs to him. As believers, we are holy to the Lord, not to our parents. We are the Lord's possession, not our parents' possession. Christ died for us, not that we may live for our parents, but for him, who for our sake died and was raised. 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So if that time should ever come, if that time should ever come when our parents' will conflicts with our Lord's will, with all due respect to your parents, may you echo the apostles and declare in faithfulness to Christ Jesus, I must obey God rather than men. Respectfully, honor your father and mother, but with ultimate faithfulness to your Creator and Redeemer, Christ Jesus, the Lord. May the Lord give you strength at that time to endure whatever consequences you may suffer. May he give you strength to endure it with a peaceful conscience and a restful heart. But short of disobedience to himself, the Lord wills for children to honor their parents by obeying them in everything. Once children mature into adulthood and leave their parents to start their own families, the command to honor their parents still stands. It doesn't get abolished at that point because we're independent. It stands for as long as they live. It's true, at that point, we're no longer under the control of our parents as we once were. We're now in charge of the various aspects of our lives that our parents were once in charge of. But again, the Lord's command still stands. For as long as our parents are alive, honor your father and your mother. We must continue to respect our parents and love them. That is the Lord's will for his people. Scripture teaches us that one of the major ways adult children show honor to their parents is by making some return to their parents for having raised them, especially as they lose the capacity to take care of themselves. So I'll direct your attention to 1 Timothy 5, 3-4. This is what we read there. Honor widows who are truly widows. At that time, to be a widow was far worse than it is today. If you're a widow, at that time, you've lost your means to provide for yourself. truly a difficult situation to be in back then. You're dependent on your husband, dependent on someone else to provide for you. And that resource is gone. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. See what we're reading there? As adult children, Scripture instructs us that we are to honor our parents. How? By making some return to them for having raised us. Jesus, our Lord, emphasizes the same thing. He emphasizes the need to honor our parents by providing for them, something the Pharisees denied in their own unscriptural teaching. Confronts them about it in Mark 7:9-13. And he said to them, to the Pharisees, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." Clearly, according to our Lord, honoring our parents involves taking care of them as they once took care of us when we were children. There is a reviling of parents that goes beyond just words. It involves hardening our hearts to the need of our parents in their old age and forsaking our responsibility towards them. I wonder how many make void the word of God by saying to their needy elderly parents, "Whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God." Wonder how many professing Christians make void the word of God by using ministry as an excuse for neglecting the need of their parents. "So sorry, Dad. I'm so sorry, Mom. I'm so occupied with the Lord's work. I wish there was something I could do for you, believe me, but you have to understand the demands of ministry. It requires so much sacrifice from me. If it wasn't for the Lord's work, I'd be able to do something for you." Please understand, the Lord's work is my priority. I'm terribly sorry. Caring for our parents in their old age is not a distraction from the Lord's work. It is the Lord's work. Verse 4, 1 Timothy 5, you just read it. "Let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." Caring for the needs of our parents is how we show godliness to them. Making some return to our parents is one of the indispensable ways believers honor their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God, as Scripture teaches us. If we have needy elderly parents, we want to please the Lord. Well, this is one of the first things we must do. Make some return to them. Take care of them. This is pleasing in the sight of God. When we observe the life of our Lord Jesus, we can see that he exhibited both aspects of honoring his parents, obedience and care. Jesus, our Lord, modeled submission to his parents throughout his youth. Think back on that story that took place early in the life of our Lord when he was 12 years old. He and his parents went up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. When the feast was ended, his parents left Jerusalem with their entourage of relatives and friends, not realizing they left Jesus behind. Once it dawned on them that they did, what did he do? They returned back to Jerusalem, as any good parent would, and searched for him high and low for 3 days. Eventually, they found Jesus in the temple courts. Amazing, the religious teachers, with his understanding and answers. Having found him, Mary, Jesus' mother, chided him. Luke 2, 48-51. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. In his childhood, Jesus was submissive to the authority of his parents, no doubt, as we read in Colossians 3:20. Absolutely, he obeyed his parents in everything at that time. Fast forward to when Jesus was a grown man, dying on the cross. Even there, Jesus was concerned with the well-being of his mother, who appears to have been widowed by then. In his dying moments, as he bore the weight of our sins on the cross, in that agony, unlike any agony that has ever existed, what does Jesus do? Jesus thinks about his mother, his earthly mother, thinks about her need, thinks about how she would be looked after and provided for. John 19:25-27. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." If even our incarnate Lord and God, infinite in power, perfect in excellency, supreme in authority, humbled himself and honored his flawed parents, how could we, puny, wretched people, hesitate to do so? Children in the Lord, how could we grumble at this commandment of our God, who was obedient to himself while he walked this earth? Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, children in the Lord, notice how in Ephesians there is a promise affixed to the honoring of our parents. The first promise is well-being. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," this is the first commandment with a promise, "that it may go well with you." That it may go well with you. Promise number one. Well-being. Children who submit to the guidance of their parents who are raising them benefit from it long after they've left home. They benefit from it all throughout their lives. They enter adult life prepared, equipped with the experience and insight of their parents. Children who rebel against their parents' guidance enter adult life not nearly as well equipped, not nearly as well prepared. They suffer blunders, errors, which they could have avoided had they listened. Children who honor their parents will generally experience greater well-being throughout their lives as a result. Well, the second promise affixed to the honoring of our parents is a long life. So we go back to Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. And here's the second part, that you may live long in the land. How many children end up dying young because they refuse to listen to their parents? Rejecting their parents' guidance, they fall in with the wrong crowd. They engage in foolish and risky behavior. They live life without the benefit of their parents' experience and foresight, and sooner or later they pay a deadly price for it. But ultimately, it is God who promises to bestow well-being and a long life on children who honor their parents. And I take this to mean that children who honor their parents receive from God blessings conducive to their prosperity and longevity to a greater degree than those who do not. They receive greater blessing conducive to their prosperity and longevity. Does that mean that all obedient children live a long life? Well, I can think of certain instances where that doesn't seem to always be the case. Some obedient children, I think, die young. But I think we can be certain on the basis of God's promise that children who honor their parents ordinarily, not always, ordinarily, however, I think, and a good reason to believe this because of the promise, ordinarily live out longer and happier lives than those children who refuse to do so. So children in the Lord, that specifically is addressing some of us in this congregation, children in the Lord, being brought up by your parents right now at this moment. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Parents have authority over every aspect of our lives that describes us. Nothing is off limits. They have the final say in everything. In everything. For as long as they don't require us to disobey the supreme authority, who is Christ Jesus, the Lord. In cases like that, we always go with the Lord over our parents. But short of that, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Or as we read once again in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word and is the product of your Holy Spirit's anointing, we pray that we, in whom the same Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Jesus, dwells, would receive your word, believe, apply. For this is not the command of man, as we have looked at this passage for today, but is the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this command. It's not an arbitrary command. It is for our well-being. It's for our blessing. Those who honor their parents, and particularly children who obey their parents, growing up, experience greater blessing from God. We have excellent reason to believe, according to your word, that such children generally, ordinarily, experience more prosperous and happier lives than those children who don't. And so, Lord God, for these two reasons, because it is your commandment unto us, and because you have affixed to this commandment your great and precious promise, we pray that those of us who are children in the Lord today would obey your word. And we pray this all now, in Jesus' name, amen.